This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at will.illinois.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. The woman known as the Dog Listener is our guest this afternoon. Her name is Jan Fennell. Some years back, she began to think when it comes to training dogs, we can do better. She began thinking about how better to communicate with dogs. Jan Fennell joins us this afternoon to talk about her approach to training dogs. She's also looking forward to answering your questions about dogs. She can answer all manner of questions about dogs, from selecting a puppy to the stages of a dog's development to training and handling a dog in public. She's also well known for her work with dogs with serious behavior problems. You can join us this afternoon with a telephone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number. That number is 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Let me tell you a little bit more about our guest, the Dog Listener. Jan Fennell is the author of several books on dogs, including The Dog Listener, A Dog's Best Friend, The Secrets That Make Good Dog Owners Great, and The Seven Ages of Dogs. She's also produced a number of CDs and DVDs about dog training. She makes her home in England, but travels frequently to conduct workshops and speak about dogs. There's more about her at her website, www.janfennellthedoglistener.com. Fennell, by the way, contains two N's and two L's. You'll find a link to her website at ours, will.illinois.edu. This is Jan Fennell's third appearance on the Afternoon Magazine. She joins us by telephone this afternoon from the Chicago area, where this evening she'll be at Northwestern University in Evanston to do a workshop, An Evening with the Dog Listener. It will be held at Harris Hall, which is located at 1881 Sheridan Road. So if you're in that neck of the woods, you might want to spend an evening with the Dog Listener. That's tonight, February 7th, 2008, 6:30 to 9:30 at Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois, Harris Hall. Again, the phone numbers, if you'd like to talk with us this afternoon, 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. Jan, how are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. And it's lovely to be back with you.
Oh, it's lovely to speak with you again. So what have you been up to lately?
Oh, wow. I had a very big tour of the U.S. and Australia, New Zealand again recently. And I've just been down doing more research at Wolf Park in Battleground, Indiana. We're off to Yellowstone. I mean, this is going to be so neat. There are 19 of my trained dog listeners meeting up there for a kind of fun but research time, which is going to be. And one of my colleagues has come from New Zealand, some from the U.S., some from Great Britain and Denmark. So it's going to be pretty crazy.
Yeah. Now this all began when you saw Monty Roberts.
Yeah.
The horse listener at work. And now you've taken what you've learned from him and what you've learned from your work with dogs, and now, as I understand it from visiting your website, you're applying it to other species.
Oh, yeah, that's been an immense surprise, but delight. I now work along some zoos because there are people who say we shouldn't have zoos, but while they're human beings, they're going to be there. And the animals that are there need to be stimulated, they need to be treated with respect, and I can move a 3-ton elephant, get her to want to do it, you know. We've now got an orangutan in one zoo who has to have a daily shot for diabetes, who this is done just for a spoonful of yogurt, you know. And it's all this, getting that, you see, what I took from Monty Roberts was that wonderful premise, get that other guy to want to do it, not because it fears you or you make it, but get it to go, hey, you're good enough. You know, you're who I want to be with. And then once they show you that trust, you never hurt them. You never give them a reason to doubt. And, I mean, if you do accidentally trip over your dog or whatever, they're going to forgive you because they can forgive us so much, you know. But I'm privileged to work along sea lions. I swim with them. It's getting pretty good.
Yeah. I love elephants. So maybe you'd tell us just a little bit about what it's like to try and work with this huge animal, and maybe they're in a bit of a stressful situation. How do you calm an elephant down?
Well, what you do is, you see, always with any species, including our own, if you are a role model, you know, that calming influence, you're just there for them. And, you know, when an elephant, we always call them Ellie's, when they reach out their trunk to you, all they're asking you to do is blow across the snout, not into it, across. They will then take that smell from you and place it up into the roof of their mouth, where they have two holes, receptors, which give them a straight feed into their brain, and it tells them, hey, that's you. You know, it's like, you know, giving them your name. And if an elephant is at all distressed, then you do this. And then when they take it, you give them a rub, and you actually walk away. You know, you don't approach to frighten. We do this with all these type of species. You know, we'll approach. If they look distressed, we'll walk away. And then we'll, you know, get a bit closer and walk away until they realize there is nothing to fear. Because most people get attacked by other animals, you know, by species, including our own again, because they keep coming and they try and trap. I mean, just for your listeners' interest, last August, I was in a place where there was a pretty upset animal that charged at us. And I dropped my eyes and I moved out of the way. So as he pushed, I went with him and I sustained just the tiniest of bruises. And this was a 200-kilo gorilla, silverback gorilla in Rwanda, in the mountains, in his home. We were on his patch, you know. Mm. And I was quite disappointed. My bruise was so weak, you know. I wanted to show everybody my silverback bruise. But, you know, I did not pursue him or frighten him. I made the right sounds. And, you know, he was kind of, just go away, I've got another problem, you know. Yeah. And it is, people only get hurt when they pursue. So with an elephant, you show it first, there's nothing to fear. And then you kind of make it, get its interest, like, hey, there's some fun going on here. For me, what we were doing was taking honey and smearing it onto a tree and then moving away and then doing it again, you know, and sort of not making. Another thing people tend to do, which animals don't like, is get very wee, 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 you know. Dogs don't like it. They like you to be very calm so they can stand back and go, what the heck's going on there, you know. And then when they come over, then it's soft voice and it's, hi, sweetie, you know, and you encourage them. It's very simple. Actually, one of my great mottos, people, I've got 300 dog listeners now from Iceland to Christchurch, New Zealand, and we're training more all the time, and they know, keep it simple. You know, don't go complicated, because that's the road to, wow, disaster.
Yeah, so I guess you think, you know, when we're afraid, we're going to get out of there, or we're going to fight, or we're just going to freeze up.
Yeah.
And this happens with all the other animals
exactly.
in the world.
Exactly. I mean, if I'd have turned and run when that gorilla was coming, he would have trounced me. And if I'd been stupid enough to sort of stand there and challenge him, he would have trounced me. You know, I just went passive, and just I was moving to it. I mean, he at one point, his body was full on to mine. And he stopped for a moment and came forward with power, but not, you know, I could see in his eyes there was no intent to hurt. So I just got out of his way, and he let me.
Mm.
I think with the Ellie's, for example, you know, when they offer you friendship, and what people don't realize, and this is so sad, this is where the domestic dog is really the victim of the worst abuse possible, and by so many people, because they really believe that's the only choice they've got. You know, this worries me. When you get that dog to sit back and see you as somebody that's calm and gentle and loving and can take charge in a quiet manner when they need you to, then they can start to go, hey, this is good.
Yeah.
And when you get that other to want to cooperate, then it's a whole new ball game. It's magical. It's precious. And this is the fabulous side of it. Anyone who wants to can do it.
Yeah.
This is not, you know, don't try this at home, you know, I am the expert and all that. Get out of here. You know, it's anyone who wants to can use this quiet, kind method. And I don't care how aggressive the dog's got or how nervous it's got. I don't care. This will break through. And the rewards are phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, let's say we're in a room together and we've got a very stressed, nervous dog.
Yeah.
Walk us through how we enter the room,
mm-hmm.
how we are in the space with the dog,
yep.
and maybe how we leave and come back.
Mm-hmm. Right. First of all, when you remember with a dog, with all canines, they like space to move away from danger. And we've immediately taken that away because of our homes. We may think we've got a big yard, but out in their world, they've got 200 square miles. You know what I mean? So we have to respect that. When you walk into a room, if a dog is hanging back and looking at you in a nervous way, first of all, don't make eye contact. Now, don't turn your back. That is, you know, the last thing you do. But you know you can watch out the corner of your eye without looking directly. Just don't make eye contact. Come in and out, perhaps be talking. You know, a dog list will be talking to the owners, explaining what's going on, saying, hey, you know, we've got to first convince this dog there is nothing to fear. And believe it or not, a nervous dog takes longer than an aggressive dog because the nervousness is, you know, it's like, you sure? You sure? Nah, you sure? So we just keep doing that. And you see, a dog listener does not set out to work with the dog. That's not what it's all about. The dog listener will work with the owner to facilitate the owner knowing what to do whenever the dog does something. So, say, for example, after a dog listener's visited, the owner, the carer of the dog will let a friend in and the dog retreats under the sofa. The carer will say, okay, let's just have a cup of coffee. Let's just have a chat. Let's just ignore that dog completely. Give it room and time to decide for itself it's safe. Now, when that dog, and it will do, will start curiosity. I mean, they're so curious. When they start to come out and look, don't look at them, because that will send them hurtling back again. You know, let them have the confidence to come out. And what you can say sweet things to them. You can even say horrid things to them in a sweet voice. You know, you can say, you are the ugliest dog I've ever seen, and I can't stand you. You know, do you know what I mean? It's that tone of voice. Yeah. It's inviting. And just don't push it. I took 5 weeks with one dog. I talk about in my first book, The Dog Listener, which incidentally is in 20 languages, which isn't bad going. And I just kind of said sweet nothings, and I sat on the floor and I read a magazine and, you know, just cool things. And when he finally, oh, this was lovely, you'll love this. When he finally did come over and lean on my hand for a bit of a fuss to the side of his face, I started just to be gentle movements up and down. It was like, you like that, don't you? And when he really sank into it, I stopped and I walked away. And my attitude was, yes, sweetheart, you want more of that. Yeah. You know, rather, another thing people do and don't realize it, they'll stroke the same spot for too long. You know, you think about it. If somebody, you know, what's first always nice, then becomes a little bit irritating, then actually quite aggravating until it gets sore, you know. So I just gave him a little stroke and walked away, showing him what cooperation with me would result in. Therefore, getting him to go, more please, you know?
Yeah.
So with a dog that's nervous, you know, just, and some people, bless their hearts, they come in and they say, what's the matter with you? I'm not going to hurt you. And they look at that dog, and what they don't realize is the dog's seeing you virtually attacking them, giving them nowhere to go. So the kindest thing is just give them that time to come round. And of course, as a dog listener, what we do is we teach people the other key areas, it's only four of them, that you need to take charge of very quietly and very confidently that will all work in a holistic manner to get the dog to really soften and believe in you.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guest today is the dog listener, Jan Fennell. Listeners, if you've got questions or questions or comments, if you've got a story to relate, we'd love to hear from you this afternoon. You can join our conversation this afternoon, our discussion with a telephone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455, and toll-free, 800-222-9455. Let's take a call now from a listener in Battleground, Indiana. Line 4, hi.
Hi. Well, I was wondering, did I hear you say that you're going to stop in Battleground, Indiana, or am I mistaken? I was in my car driving from Lafayette up to Battleground.
Oh, wow. And we were there. We were actually there Friday, Saturday, Sunday of last week.
Oh, I missed you.
We were privileged because it was anybody in any walk of life. If you want to improve, you've got to keep researching and learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the captive wolves there, which is different to wolves living free, I mean, a canine,
uh-huh.
It was just so fabulous. The people there were so gracious. They care for those guys. And I was able to pick up more information, which explains to me why what I do works so well. Does that make sense? You know,
yeah.
I found what works, and I've spent all these years finding out why it works so well, you know? And, I had the greatest time up there. People
now, where were you specifically, do you recall, or in Battleground?
You mean at Wolf Park?
Oh, you were at Wolf Park.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought maybe you were going to come back this way.
I should be back this way. Oh, wow, I shall be back that way, you can guarantee, because...
But you don't have a specific date that you'll be this way.
Not as yet.
Okay.
Just to give you any clue, whenever I'm going anywhere or what we're doing, it's always on my website. We have a latest news page and that sort of thing. So if you want to keep an eye on that, I should be back to Battleground. There's no two ways about it because the team there was so gracious and
well,
so knowledgeable.
That's good to hear.
That's fantastic. And the people at the town were very friendly, you know. So
they are.
Fun place to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, okay, I just was wondering, and the gentleman that answered the phone when I just called,
uh-huh.
He wanted to know where in the world Battleground, Indiana was, and you tell him it's in Tippecanoe County, just a little bit north of Lafayette,
yeah.
Indiana,
yeah.
But it's Battleground because this is where Harrison engaged the Indians,
Tyler,
back
yeah.
in 1811 and 12,
oh, fantastic.
Before the state of Indiana become a state. And so I was talking to you. You got a book entitled Dog Listener.
The Dog Listener, that's right. Yeah.
So I'll have to check that book out.
You can get it in the library. You can get it in the library, my friend. We always say to people, you know, go to the library, get it out. If you like what you see, this kind, gentle way, then fine. You know, we just invite people to kind of decide for yourselves. You're not, you know, you're grown ups. You know what you like, and that's what we like to offer.
Uh-huh. Are you from England? Or
yeah, I am. Yeah.
You're an English lady.
I am an English lady.
Well,
yeah.
So good to talk to you.
And to you, my friend. Thank you so much for ringing in.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Other telephone calls are invited for our guest, Jan Fennell, the dog listener, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Well, what's the Wolf Park like there in Battleground, Jan?
Oh, it's amazing. They've been doing research now for 35 years because we understand that the wolf has a mixed reaction from people in the States. I mean, we can't have a mixed reaction in England because we haven't got any anymore. We've got place names after them, but no wolves. But in the scheme of, you know, the environment, they're valuable. They, you know, nature put them there for a darn good reason. And so as we can find out more about them, you see, what humans fear, they have to destroy. It sounds dreadful, but this is true. So when we can learn to understand these other species that we share this planet with, then we find that people open their hearts as well as their minds. And at the Wolf Park, as I say, 35 years of research, and it is observation. I was actually in with the pack last September, not on my own, with the team, because, you know, they know these guys, small groups. But this time we didn't actually go in with the pack because it's the breeding season and, you know, a little bit more heightened hormone play. So, you know, they do take great care of their guests. And you can observe the packs. They do different courses, seminars for anybody that wants to know. And they really do know this stuff.
Let's take another call now. A listener in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hi. I just tuned in a little while ago, but I was just trying to understand if your book or if you can offer any advice for, I have a good friend who, her dog has had to go through two successive operations on his hind leg, and he is a very loving and very active dog, and they've had to kind of isolate him to keep it the reason he had to have two is because the first one didn't take because he moved around too much. And so they've had to actually isolate him and put him in a place where he's not used to doing it. Is there anything you can offer as far as guidance for how, you know, you care for him or how you might listen or talk to him to kind of ease the process as much as possible? And I'll hang up and listen on the air.
Now, that's a brilliant question. Now, first of all, we're not veterinarians, so the medical side of things we leave to those guys because they know it. Now, this is very, very interesting because what we found is, you see, a dog that is confused about its role in the household is often more excitable and more active. And what we found incredibly is that when we address the role of the dog in the house, which is what dog listening's about, we just trade places with him. It's like, hey, don't you bother with the job. You give that to me, you know? And it's so straightforward and simple. What happens is that the medical problems are eased. For example, epilepsy. It doesn't cure epilepsy, but it does reduce the instance of it happening. And I actually worked with a dog for one of the television show I did, and there was this dog. He had to have massive operations, four joints, and he was so hyperactive they feared they'd never succeed. But by able to calm his mind and get him to sort of relax naturally, then it aided the medical situation. Does that make sense? Can you see how it works? It complements. So what I would suggest your friends do is perhaps, you know, get down to the library, get out the dog listener. Now, read the first six chapters twice because it shows you where your dog's coming from, how your dog thinks and why it behaves in the way it does. And every single non-medical behavioral problem, from separation anxiety to pulling on the leash to jumping up, aggression, fear of fireworks, you name it, comes down to, and this hyperactivity comes down to the dog believing it's got the job of leader to do, and it just can't cope. So when we trade places and show the dog this calm way of behaving, for example, when you come in the door, this is the tough one, don't address the dog. Because if you say hi, then the dog goes, oh, you're paying homage to me, so therefore I'm responsible for you. We always say you time the greeting. You come in, put your groceries around away, do what you got to do. Then turn to that dog when it's calm and say, come on, sweetheart. Now, when you call them to you, they soon learn that calm from them gets them to come to you. You know, you then want to interact with them. And they put themselves into that relaxed, calm way very, very quickly because they want to interact. You see how it works? It's consequence of action. So the medical side, I would leave to your professionals and stay with them. But the way your friends can help is by calming the mind as well, because really a hyperactive dog is just another way of demonstrating I'm smart and I'm muddled and I need some help here.
Yeah. Also, this technique of the 5-minute timeout when you come home, it's very calming for everyone.
Yeah.
And also, I would imagine it would also help the dog that has a problem with, you know, getting kind of nervous and urinating.
Oh, yeah.
On greeting.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you see the dog is like, oh, where do we stand? Where do we stand? You know, everything's so manic at the door. So what we do is we just kind of walk in, walk past the dog, you know, put the groceries away or go and change our clothes or do anything. And then when the dog is quite calm, then you just look and say, come here, sweetie. You know, again, you see, you're calling a friend. This is why another thing I totally rejected was this command the dog. You know, this is your friend. You know, if I was to command my friends, I wouldn't have any. You know? So what I look at is, you know, it's true, isn't it? You know?
Come and sit here.
Yeah, come and sit in that chair. You know, it's because, you know, you want to go around and visit Jan? Hell no. Because it's too unpleasant. So, and the dog likes, it's a pack animal. It wants to belong. It wants to know where it stands. And so bullying and dominating and all this other horrid stuff, which, I'll be honest, I have found very few humans actually want to do, but they don't know how, you know, they're told to do this or put this collar on and do this, and because they're desperate. And when people are seeking help with their dogs, they are vulnerable. And this, a lot of people in the dog world use against the owner, and that's just so wicked, you know, because because when somebody's vulnerable, if they put their trust in you, you step up to that plate. You know, you do not let them down. And so the job of a dog listener is to get harmony in that household, harmony for the dogs and the humans who share their lives together.
Yeah.
So it is a very, very nice, and as you say, time out's a great thing. You know, without, you don't have to give them orders all the time. It's not sit, lay down, you know, it's not that. Just learn for yourself, sweetheart, you will. And, you know, when people say to me, how long will this take? How long do you give a healthy child to walk? Hey, they're going to do it, you know. It is very, 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 very nice. I like it anyway.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about another common issue that mm-hmm. people have with dogs, and that's they take the dog for a walk, and that dog is out there on the lead and pulling.
Yeah.
Why do dogs do that, and how do you turn that around?
Well, there's a number of things. First of all, we're so slow. We are so slow. You know, a dog can cover the ground a lot quicker. But no, and that's a flippant side, and I apologize. What it is, when the hunt is very important, and the four areas I always, you know, say that the dog needs you to show leadership qualities is over food, which is obvious, the hunt, we call it going for a walk, perceived danger, and status. So we dealt with the status with ignoring them when you came in. You know, it's very, very simple. Now, this dog who believes its leader, where should leader be but up front? Out there, putting itself in the line of decision-making where we go and danger and all these other things to protect the human, who they don't see as mommy, but as baby. Yeah. So we say to people, when you're going through that, it's no fun for you or the dog. Guess what? Don't do it. Don't do it. For a couple of weeks, don't even dream of going out the house unless you haven't got a yard or somewhere for the dog to you know, sort of mm-hmm. empty. So, but, you know, and we've got ways around that. But what you do is, believe it or not, the dog does not instinctively want to walk close to your side. They don't do that either. So we have to show the dog, first of all, quietly what we want. And I suggest we do that without leash, forget the leash, in the house. Call a dog to you because the dog's like you and me. It's got a very, very good attitude. Same as elephants and all the others. What's in it for me? Oh, what a lovely attitude. So we work with that. And we show them a little bit of food reward, a little kibble, something small. Come on, sweetheart. And we show them heel. Where we want them very clearly, when you've got plenty of time and you're ready to play with your dog, make it a game. Come on, love, heel. And they soon learn that when you say that word, or whatever words you choose to use, the dog comes to a certain position by your leg. Now, once they've learned that, then you add the leash. But meantime, this is the good side, you've been giving the dog more information that you've come up to the plate of leadership by when you come in, ignoring that dog. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're doing that. It's a holistic thing. Simple, but holistic. So you're coming in doing that. When danger occurs, you know what to do. You know, so bit by bit, by the time you venture out with your dog again, once you put the leash on, then the dog now knows that, hey, you're the one that leads, and so you change their minds, not by physical force. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's great, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And they give it up. They don't have to pull because they're not in charge. They're not the decision makers. They're there to go out and enjoy the world with you.
And they're perfectly all right with
it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, some give a little bit more of resistance than others, mainly because they're going, you leader, get out of here. I've been doing this job for 5 years, you know? And so you might get that sort of, oh, you're kidding me, you know? But we don't mind that. We love that because it's the personality of the dog. And, you know, we just work through this with people and we have a ball. They actually find that this ability to achieve this so simply is immense fun.
Yeah. Now, rewarding with praise is a wonderful tool.
Uh-huh.
Also, food rewards work very, very nicely.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of food rewards do you like to use?
I like to use little meat strips, bits of meat strips. You know, these strips you can buy, you know, natural food, not chocolate or anything like that. You know, just little morsels, kibble size. You can use kibbles as well. But, and if you really got a dog and you want to convince it big time, a little bit of cheese doesn't go down badly either. You know, so it's natural. Well, I know cheese isn't natural to them, but you're not going to be using masses. And if you think you're using a lot during this work, then just adjust their meal accordingly, you know.
Yeah. Well, recalling my childhood working with this dog that I loved very dearly, the praise was a wonderful tool. And it seemed like if you were making, if the dog knew that she was making us happy, she was happy.
They want to please so much. So, you know, sometimes I one of the moments I love with my dogs, in particular one of my oldies, Jen, is sometimes I can be sitting there and she's laid on her bed and I just look at her and I smile. And she will just bang her eyes and wag her tail, not move.
Yeah.
And that's that moment. You know, if I would call her, she would come, you know. But it's not that, there's no urgency. There's that, I want to do it whenever you know, the dog will want to do it whenever you ask them willingly. But there's no panic, there's no stress. It's all very relaxed and wonderful. And then, of course, the dog can think clearly. Because if dog is having hysterics, it's like you and I. If somebody's hysterical, how much information they're going to take in? You know, they can't take it on board when they're going crazy.
Yeah.
So we just get them to think clearly. And then, as you say, food or... I do food sometimes and a lot of praise, and we build it up to this praise only virtually, you know. But in the initial stages, yeah. I mean, I know, I doubt we give our orang his jab, with his shot without...
the yogurt.
Yeah. But hey, that's okay. Yogurt's good for him, you know.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So, you know, it's as long as it's good for them and they're health-wise, then, you know, it's great.
Yeah. Well, as Mary Poppins... knows, a spoonful of sugar.
Absolutely.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at will.illinois.edu. My name is Celeste Quinn. Our guest in this portion of the program is the dog listener, Jan Fennell. She's with us this afternoon to talk about dogs. And if you have a question about dogs, great time to get in line and get on the phone and talk with us this afternoon. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number. That number, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Let's take a call now from Bloomington, Illinois. Listener on line one. Hi.
There. Hello there.
Hi.
I just had a question, and you may have already addressed this with one of the issues of behavior, but I wanted to know if I could get a little more information. We have a dog that we adopted a couple years ago, and he's quite energetic. He's about 6 years old, but he still acts like a puppy. And we've been working with him. We took him through dog obedience training and felt a little more confident, you know, handling him because he's about a 55-pound dog. But and he's a really good dog. He's really friendly. But when people come over, he just, I mean, he loves to have guests, and he really gets very excited, and he jumps on people, and we try our best to, like, make him sit before we even answer the door and make him stay. And we've even tried using his collar, you know, and giving him some pops, you know. And it just does not seem to work. And so I just wondered if you had any kind of tips. I know you just talked about using positive reinforcement and treats. And so I was wondering, what's the best way to go about trying to, you know, get him to settle down and be a calmer dog when people come over?
Oh, what a great question. I'm so glad to ask that. Because, in truth, if you were to get from the library the book, The Dog Listener, it would explain step by step how to stop that totally without any stress.
And that's your first book?
That's the first book, yeah.
Okay.
And actually, you're lucky in the States because they've put the first two together, which is The Dog Listener and The Practical, which the Practical is a 30-day guide to how to implement everything.
Yeah, so, I hadn't heard of you before, and I like looked at your website real quick before I got on the phone, and that looked really interesting.
Yep. Right. Now, this is before we can know how to correct something or how to change something, we call it behavior shaping, yeah? We have to know why it occurs. Whenever somebody comes to that door, this is danger to the family. The dog is in charge at home, so this is why nothing's working, because the dog is a decision maker. So when somebody comes to that door, the dog is saying, hey, my house, my rules, come on, pay me homage, do it, do it, do it. And if you don't do it, I'll jump up and down till you do. So if somebody says, get down, that's fine. Now you've paid me homage because you've spoken to me.
Okay.
You trying to make him sit. Obedience school is like stuff to them. It's not important. It's more important to the human because you think you're controlling the dog, and the dog's going, dildo you did.
Yeah, kind of it.
Yeah. So what I want you to do is, does he bark when people come to the door?
No,
he doesn't.
Rarely bark.
Right. Now, this is a dog who has chosen the silent approach. Now, this actually, believe it or not, is very common in certain species of dog, like the African wild dog.
Yeah.
When there's trouble, they keep their heads down because there's darn big pussycats out there, you know?
Yeah.
So they learn to be quiet. Some dogs do this. Now, just to help other people who are listening as well, if your dog barks, you know what you're going to do? Instead of going, stop it, what you can do is go, thank you.
Oh.
Because you see, if you're shouting and you're joining in.
Yeah.
And you're also saying, daddy, deal with it, daddy, because I'm a frightened baby. So where's the leader here, yeah? So you would go, good dog, thank you. Now, what I want you to do is have him on leash.
Okay.
So when people come, first thing you do is say to your visitors, ignore him. Hey, you know, haven't they come around to see you? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
The dog is an incident.
We've tried that.
No. But yeah,
maybe we're not following through.
Let me just tell you something about the word trying, shall I?
Okay.
Trying is the thief of achievement.
Okay.
Because you try something and it don't, you know, you do it.
Yeah.
So this is how you follow through. Now, remember what I said, this goes holistically. So you're going to have to do the status thing and the food thing and, you know, a walk. So don't worry about that.
Okay.
But it's all in the book and you can get it from a library. So what you do is, your visitors come in and you hold your dog. He starts to jump or be antisocial without a word. You isolate him in a room anywhere where, you know, he can just stay for a minute. Get your visitors in. You carry on with the process of meet and greeting and whatever you're going to do, yeah?
Okay.
And when he's calm, you bring him back out on leash. If he screws up again, he goes back. But
okay.
Not a word. You must let him learn by consequence of action. Learn for himself. And then when he comes, and believe me, they learn. If he jumps up and messes about 12 times, you correct it quietly like this 13. Because on that last and that final go, he will come out and be thinking, hey, this, you know, where there's only one species that is silly enough to keep doing something even though it doesn't work. Which is ultimate failure. And you know which species that is?
That's human.
Yeah. What he's going to be doing is he's going to be going, this ain't working. I've got to do something else. So when he comes in and he's steady, he's allowed to stay. There's no big, good dog, none of that. He's shown the rules. We've got visitors. It's like children jumping all over. It's like, you're not going to do that. But you see, because they're nonverbal, we can't tell them that. We have to show it. So I want you to follow through every single time, because what a leader is, above all, is consistent. A leader doesn't go, yeah. You know, you see it in the shops when the kid is going, I want some cookies. No, I want some cookies. In the end, they give in. The parents give in. So the child thinks, I've only got to keep going, and you'll give in. The parent who doesn't give in gets that, no, not now, hon. Okay, mom. You know?
Yeah.
And you're building into that. So it doesn't take the dog long to really learn that behavior gets me on my own. I'm a pack animal, not what I want. And when they're quite calm, you bring them back through. And if they're calm and behave nicely, they stay. And as their manners improve, you can allow more interaction with your guests. But it's like a child, you know, you've got to know, you can't play the game till you know the rules. So we're going to give them the rules quietly, calmly, and you can smile when you do it. You just think, yeah, you screwed up again, you know? But you don't get mad. You don't get mad, because teaching is not about getting mad. It's getting information across. You know, a good teacher facilitates learning. They do not, you can't take information and force it into a brain. It's not going to happen. People have tried with me. It's like with my car mechanic. He's lifted the hood of that car and gone, look, Jan, I've gone, bye. I'm out of here. I don't care. You know, he can't make me take interest in what's under that bonnet.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is just show the dog that behavior is undesirable. You will be on your own. But meantime, you'll also be, when you come in the door yourself, or even if you've only been to the grocery store, if you've been in one room and been in for a shower and come out, for that few seconds, you hold the greeting on your terms. And then the dog begins to go, wow, you know? And so when you take charge of who's coming in that door, the dog goes, this is your decision too. And then they start to want to work to be in your gang rather than them thinking they've got to put everybody in their place. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
And I promise you, I'll tell you what, one of the greatest things clients say to us, can you guarantee this will work? I say, if you guarantee to do it.
That's true.
And it's absolutely, so don't try this, do it, and you'll just see such a transformation. Your dog will be happy, you will, your visitors will. It's a win-win situation, I promise you.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to go for it.
Thank you so much for the call. It's been so helpful to other people, too. Trust me.
Good. Thank you.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Next, we talk with someone in Mattoon on line 4. Good afternoon.
Yes. We really don't have any dog problems. Mm-hmm. We have a very nice dog, the best dog we've ever owned.
Yeah.
And we're thinking about getting another dog, hoping it will be twice as good and I just don't want it to be half as good.
Right, yeah.
Any ideas or hints at all?
How old is your dog now?
He's 3.5.
He's 3.5, okay.
Yeah.
Now, quite honestly, when you have a dog that's giving you no cause for concern at all, then sometimes it's just a very, very clever dog that's learned to cope a bit better, okay? So I still suggest that you perhaps read the book. You know, so you can get it from the library, read the book, just to see where dogs are coming from. Now, if you're going to get another dog, I would generally look at a dog from the opposite sex. And, of course, you can have them neutered so as you don't get them onto puppies. That's fine. And of comparable size. Now, breed don't matter at all because we don't do this breed difference. You know, I never say that a Mexican person is smarter than the Italian. You know, it's crazy. So whatever breed your heart desires and your eye likes, then, you know, you go for. But a comparable size, because he's going to play pretty well, and he will be an absolute idiot around, you know, having a company, because they do love it. And to watch dogs play together is one of the joys of life, you know? So, you know, what breed is he?
He's an Airedale.
He's an Airedale. Okay. Oh, that gives you a pretty wide scope, because you know, there are so many. If you want to get another Airedale, terrific, you know. It gives you, lab size, all that sort of thing, you're going to be pretty safe with. But you can also get what we call a Hutu. At Hutu, tell what breed it is. You know, I love those. A multi-pedigree, you know, from shelters. And people generally shy away from that because they think the dog comes with problems. Believe me, dog listeners work along shelters the world over. And we are able to show them that it's nothing to do with the dog. It's the information you give them. So, you know, as I say, I would go for a dog of the opposite sex, you know, for ease, as it were, you know.
Now, do you just bring the dog and say, spring it one day?
No,
No,
I'd actually take them to neutral territory. You know, you can choose your dog. You could maybe, it depends how old the dog is when you get it. Neutral territory is always a favorite because you don't want either dog with a foothold of confidence. You want them equally going, hey, where are we? And finding each other one that's kind of nice to go with. If you get one from a shelter, they often have a meet and greet area, you know. I did that with Barmy when I got him. I introduced him to my others in that area. And he was damaged, bless him. He was really distressed. We got him round. We did fine. But, you know, on neutral territory is favorite with me.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're more than welcome. And good luck. Good luck.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Unfortunately, we've got to wrap it up.
Oh, yeah. It always goes so quick.
I know. It does. So when will you be back in the States again?
Hard to say. It looks like the end of the year or early next year.
Okay.
Because I have commitments in Denmark, Holland, Italy, Australia, New Zealand again this year coming up, as well as my own stuff at home, because we're teaching. You see, we teach courses in all these countries. We also teach courses and we train dog listeners the world over. I say we. That's not the royal we. That's my son as well, my son Tony. He's off to Australia and New Zealand in May and June, where I've gone out and done the foundation courses. And then from those, we meet some lovely people who we want to take on to be dog listeners. And I think he's going to be training up about 50 over the two countries in those times. So But I do love coming back to the States. I really do.
Well, when you come back, you'll have to come back here.
Oh, it'll be my absolute pleasure, Celeste. It really will. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share what I know what a lot of people really, truly want, which is a way of getting peace with their dog and living happily.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jan Fennell is the dog listener, and she is the author of a number of books on dogs, including The Dog Listener, which, as she said, get it at the library. A Dog's Best Friend, The Secrets That Make Good Dog Owners Great, that's another of her titles, and The Seven Ages of Dogs. And she is also, in addition to the books, she also has produced some CDs and some DVDs. And for more information on all of that, you can visit her at her website. And there also you'll find her latest news and where she'll be traveling. And her website is www.janfennellthedoglistener.com. And her name, Fennell, contains two N's and two L's. This evening, she's in the Evanston area. She's in the Chicago area today. And this evening, she will be presenting a workshop and a talk and a question and answer period at Evanston, Illinois, at Northwestern University. She'll be at Harris Hall, which is located at 1881 Sheridan Road. There is an admission cost to this, and they're asking folks for who come to the door tonight to bring cash. A good chunk of the proceeds will benefit the Save a Pet Adoption Center. And again, that is this evening at Northwestern University. Let me give you one more website here to get more information about this workshop that's coming up this evening. www.peacefulpaws.us.